Well, I want to welcome you today to the continuation of our Overloaded series, and I want to say a special welcome to those of you who are joining us via our Sunnyvale campus. We've been looking through this series about how to live with less stress and more peace. And to get us started today, I want to play a game, both of our campuses, everybody, if you would participate. This is called the Blank is Better Than Blank game. Now, here's the way it works. I tell you two objects, and you choose which of the two is a better object. You can do it by raising your hand. I'll go through it, and then we'll all say which we think is better. We'll start with an easy one. Is it better to be a man or to be a woman? I'm just kidding. That actually is not a part of the game. All right, let's try some real objects here now that we can kind of choose. Okay, so is it better to write with a pen or a pencil? How many of you say it's better to write with a pen? Raise your hand. How many of you like to have the ability to erase your work with a pencil? All right, second one is this. Is it better to wear a t-shirt and be comfortable or a collared shirt and dress to impress? How many of you would say it's better to be comfortable in a t-shirt? Raise your hand, Sunnyvale, participate as well. How many of you would say it's better to have that collared shirt on? Maybe when you have an interview for your job, that's important. All right, third one is it better to wear shorts or pants? How many of you would say it's better to wear shorts? Raise your hands up high. How many of you would say it's better to wear pants? And I know that some of you answered that question based upon how white your legs are. Number four is this. Is it better to drive a minivan or a smart car? How many of you say minivan? Raise your hands up high. How many of you say smart car? There is a high contingency of both of those here in Silicon Valley. All right, last question. This might be the most difficult of all the questions, folks. Is it better to use a fork or a spoon? Better to be able to stab it or to have more capacity on the utensil? How many of you would say it's better to use a fork? How many of you would say it's better to use a spoon? All right. Okay, the rest of you, you're not going to use an object at all. You just use your hands, right? All right. So I played this game last night with my boys, and my son came and looked at me afterwards, and he said, "Dad, I don't like that game. You have to give us scenarios to choose which is better than the other." And I was like, exactly, you got the point. See, there are two approaches that we can take with life, and one is an approach where we try to balance together two objects or two tasks or two responsibilities. It's the result that you get when you take a fork and a spoon and you put them together. What do you get? You get a useless item that nobody ever uses called a spork. How many of you used a spork for breakfast this morning? Maybe one or two of you. The rest of us, we use the item that is correct for the moment. You get useless items like those cargo pants that have zippers around the legs. You know, I mean, they're not a fashion statement, guys. But of course, you can take the bottom part of the leg off when you're hiking. But it's this blending together, this idea of balance where you try to do two things at once. Now, what in the world does this have to do with stress? Absolutely nothing. We're just playing a game together. I'm just kidding. I'm taking you somewhere with all this. Now, the other approach to life is an approach that we operate or cooperate within the rhythms of life. One is balance and one is rhythm. Now, the balance approach to life says that you try to put it all together at once. The rhythm approach, the rhythm answer to all of the questions I just asked you is, it depends. It depends. If you're eating a piece of steak, you should have a fork and a knife. It depends. If you have five kids, you should be in a minivan. It depends what the situation is. And here's what happens. So often in life, we experience tremendous amounts of stress relationally with responsibilities because we try to balance it all. We try to keep all the plates spinning in our lives, and we're trying to do everything at once, and we find ourselves overloaded. So let's play the game again together. This time you don't have to respond. This is rhetorical, but I'll just throw it out to make my point. Is it better to work or to rest? Some of you are like, definitely better to rest. Is it better to give up your load or to persevere? Is it better to make decisions for your kids or to let them decide for themselves? Is it better to date or to dump? Is it better to celebrate or to discipline? Now, if you take a balanced approach to life, you try to do it all at once, and you get friends with benefits, and you keep dumping them, and you keep dating them, and you're just not really sure what to do. Or you find yourself hanging out with your kids, and you got the laptop open, and your kids are playing games around you, you're trying to work, you're neither working effectively or engaging relationally. Or if you try to balance everything, you go out on a date with your spouse, and you have work to do, so you pull your phone out, and you're trying to respond to emails, and you're doing neither of the two effectively. See, a balanced approach says that you try to do it all at once, but a rhythm approach, embracing the unique season of life or the unique moment that you find yourself in, is that you engage in that moment. That sometimes it's better to rest, sometimes it's better to play, sometimes it's better to dump, sometimes it's better to date. It depends. And today I want to talk to you about this idea of embracing your unique season of life and learning to cooperate within the rhythms and the order of how God has determined that life should flow. You see, when you try to balance it all, when you try to do it all at once, you find yourself overloaded. But if you can learn to cooperate with God and operate within the rhythms of life that He has defined, embracing the unique season of life you find yourself in, you will experience greater peace and less stress. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Now, if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And we're looking throughout this entire series about how to experience a greater amount of peace, or more margin, we've said. We've said that margin is the gap between your limit and your load. It's that gap between what you can carry and how much you're carrying. And if you have a lot of margin, you have more peace. If you have very little margin, you experience a lot of stress. Now, if you think about it, you can increase margin by increasing capacity, and you can also increase margin by decreasing load. The last few weeks, we've looked at both of those strategies. Now, the strategy for living with more stress that we're looking at today allows us to both increase capacity and decrease our load by cooperating with God to embrace the unique season that we find ourselves in. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, Solomon writes this. He says, "There is a time for everything. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven." Now, Solomon is writing this letter towards the end of his life. He has been the king of the nation of Israel and notably one of the most wise people to ever walk the planet. And he's looking back almost cynically on his life, and in this book sounds a little bit like he's been listening to some emo music as he's writing this letter. But he comes with this great wisdom that oftentimes only comes through difficulty and trial. It only comes through walking about the seasons of life with wisdom. And here's what he says. "Time for everything. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build, a time to weep, and a time to laugh." Some of you guys are hearing that song that goes, "To every season, turn, turn, turn." I tried out for the band, I got cut. They wouldn't let me sing on stage here, but I'm getting my moment right here. You guys remember the song? There's a season, turn, turn, turn. All right, to time to scatter stones, a time to gather them. I forgot the mourn. A time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a time to embrace and hug. There's a time to refrain and for there to be distance. A time to search, a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent, extroverts, a time to speak, introverts, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. There is a time and a season for every activity under heaven. Is it better to love or to hate? Well, it's better to love in certain instances, but you should find this kind of hatred. Maybe if there's an area of your life that needs to change, or there's some teenage boy trying to date your daughter, it's a time maybe to hate. There is a time for every activity under the sun, Solomon says. Now, when you and I read a passage of scripture like this, there's a lot that we can miss if we don't understand the context and what was being understood by all of the hearers who listened to Solomon's word. See, in the ancient world, there were two concepts of time that were a filter for how a person would have received Solomon's instruction. See, one concept of time is this idea of chronological time. It's this idea of the minutes and the seconds. It's the idea of the hours and the days or the weeks, the months and the years that we find ourselves in. And so often when we think about time, we think of it literally as the time on our phones or the time on our watches. And if you read this passage of Scripture, and the problem with our struggle trying to balance many things is we try to do it all at once. We look at life just linearly through this lens of chronological time and fail to recognize that the hearer, the listener in the first century when Jesus taught, and the listener when Solomon taught close to 1,000 years before that, when they would listen to Solomon's teaching, they would think of time through a different lens, and it's this other word called kairos. And the literal translation is Solomon writes of this word kairos when he says, a time for everything. He literally means there is a stage, a season, an opportunity, an open door for every activity under heaven. And it's a different time to tear down, and it's a different time when you build up. There's a time when you love. There's a time when you hate. There is a time to mend. There is a time to tear apart. He says there is a season for every activity under heaven. And so many times we are overloaded, we're stressed because we're trying to do every activity simultaneously instead of embracing the fact that God has ordered life so that we would focus on certain activities during the unique season or stages of life. Let me explain it like this. See, when you look at your life, it's almost as if God gives you a bucket. And inside that bucket comes both burdens and blessings, or burdens and benefits. It's kind of like when you go to work, right? And you get a paycheck. And at the end of the week, when you get that paycheck, you're getting a paycheck for the burden that you've been carrying with your job. There are both burdens and benefits that come with every tangible blessing that God gives into our lives. And as we look at the different seasons of life, there is a different burden and there is a different benefit that every one of us face with the different seasons. I'll explain it like this. You know, when you're in college, you have a whole lot more time on your hands, don't you? You can go to the beach on Saturday and you can hang out in Santa Cruz, baby. And you can go to the beach and just chill in 80-degree weather, loving life, because you have a little bit more time on your hand. But also, you have to study. And you've got some finals that are coming up. And even though you have more margin right there, when it's time for the finals, there's a burden that comes with the benefit or the blessing of being in that season of life. Now, think about it a little bit further down the road. This is a little dress that goes on my daughter, Karis. There's going to be a picture that will come on the screen, and you can see how beautiful she is. She's 4.5 months old. Isn't she so cute? This dress fits on her. It doesn't fit on me, just in case any of you are wondering. I don't wear dresses. But there is a benefit to this season of life, of holding that precious little girl in our arms. And it'll be gone pretty soon. But you know, that benefit comes with a burden. And there are lots of dirty diapers, and I don't want to act like I changed most of them, because my beautiful wife, Stacy, is the one that's up in the middle of the night many times changing diapers. And there's a burden that comes with the benefit. You know, later on in life, we get to a place where we have a little bit more time on our hands. Maybe for some of you, you're at a place where you've had more opportunity for ministry and to invest in other generations. But that benefit of more time also comes with a burden. I've heard my parents say before that there's an eerie silence in the home when the kids are gone. My dad said to me recently, he said, Andy, I'd give any amount of money to have you be the age that your kids are again and to be able to relive that season. I said, Dad, you can give me $10,000. I'll send the boys to you for a couple weeks. There's a burden that comes with the benefit. Or maybe for you, with that way, that freedom that you have financially, there's a physical ailment. And now when you're more free, there's also a burden that accompanies that blessing and that benefit that God has given to you. See, here's what we do, if you're anything like me. We have a tendency to minimize the benefits in the moment, don't we? we make it seem smaller, and in the rearview mirror, the benefit is always bigger. That kid that you were holding 10 years ago, you think to yourself when you get that teenager, oh, how I wish I could just have that mouth shut and have it, him as a baby in my arms again. That benefit is always bigger in the rearview mirror. We minimize our benefits or our blessings, but what do? We maximize our burdens, don't we? And we walk around and we complain and we gripe about how heavy the load is in this moment. All the while, God is leading our lives through seasons. And if we cooperate with the season that God has us in this life, then what we can do is we can maximize the benefit and minimize the burden. And what I want to do for the few moments that we have remaining is I want to share with you a series of principles that have changed my life, that in this middle of this season of being a dad with three small kids, this series of principles that comes out of an incredible book called Your Life in Rhythm has changed the way I think about marriage, friendship, parenting, the way I think about work, and has led to greater peace for me. And this book, I encourage you to get it online and read it and devour it. But these principles, I want to encourage you, we're going to walk through three strategies for embracing your burdens and benefits. Three strategies for embracing your unique season that you find yourself in. Now, I want to give you two questions to start off. And these two questions, I want to invite you to write the response down on your notes. And we're going to do a little bit of teaching and some thinking, okay? You have to engage with me here personally as we're thinking through both campuses, Sunnyvale, North San Jose. Write down the response to these two questions. The first one is this: what stage of life do you find yourself in right now? And I'm going to give you 10 particular stages, and you might find another one. This is not exhaustive. It's just 10 stages that we go through in life, okay? Number one is you're a student. Maybe you're in college or a high school student. Number three is adulthood. Number four is young professional. Number five is young married. Number six is married with young kids. Number seven is married with teenagers, and they know everything and they have all the answers at this point. They're smarter than their parents when you get to this. That's what everybody tells me as teenagers. It started with us with young kids. They already are smarter than us. Number eight is single parent. Number nine, empty nest. Number 10, grandparent. Now, which stage of life are you in? Stages are a little bit longer than seasons. Stages could be 3 to 5 to 10 years long, but this stage will help you think through the lens that will allow you to apply the principles that we're going to talk about in just a few moments. Next is, what is your season of life? I'm going to give you 10 categories here as well. One is plowing. Maybe you're an entrepreneur. You're trying to raise your VC money right now and fund the business and the dream that's in your heart. Number two is sowing. Maybe you're a student in college investing in your future and you're sowing seeds into your future. Number three is growing. Maybe there's a career or some friendships or businesses that are, or business that's growing in your life, or a series of friendships that are now starting to blossom. And then number four is harvest. Maybe you are at a place where you're experiencing fruitfulness of something you've been building towards for years. Maybe you're in a grief and loss season, number five, where you've lost a dream or a loved one. Maybe you're in number six, a recovery season, where there's an addiction or a struggle you're trying to overcome. Number seven is a victory. Maybe you just made that big sale or hit the lotto and you got the bonus. Number eight would be a defeat. Number nine would be a new beginning. Now, a defeat would be something like you just lost a job or something that you're trying is not working. Number nine, a new beginning, is a new job, a new marriage, maybe a new business that you're starting. And number 10 would be a transition in between stages, both personally or organizationally, that you're a part of. Now, I ran through this because I think you're very quickly going to be able to identify your season and your stage. What I want you to do is to write those down inside your program, and we're going to walk through some questions and some principles that will give you a strategy to maximize your blessings and benefits and minimize the burden and cooperate and embrace the season that God has you in right now. So principle number one, in order to embrace your season, is this: it's to seize opportunity that is available in that season. See, there are certain opportunities that God will place in front of you in this season that will not be available to you in the next season. This is both physically and spiritually. I remember in college having this unique privilege of being able to have long times of prayer and meditation and Bible study. I remember having the freedom between classes to go back to my dorm room and to read or to go sit on the lawn or to go to the beach and to be able to just chill and relax, as my boys say, chillax. I used to be able to have this time to slow down. And that opportunity, oh my goodness, how a young parent longs for silence in these moments when kids are all over the house and it's crazy. There was that season to invest in my relationship with God in a way when I was in college that I don't have that opportunity now. Some of you who are singles, you have more freedom right now to travel and to go on mission trips. Maybe it's participating in the mission trip that we're taking to Ethiopia or the mission trip that we're taking to China. See, there's this opportunity that is to be seized. I remember in college, every summer, I would go away for 2 months or 1 month overseas, and many of the things that God has done in my life came out of that season where there was an opportunity to be seized that now I can't leave and take off for a month like I was able to when I was that age. There are opportunities to be seized in every season that change. Every stage of life is different. Right now, we are baseball parents. In fact, both of our boys play on separate teams in separate leagues. So last week we had like 4 different occasions of baseball in our home. And Sammy, our youngest son, had his first ever baseball game on Saturday. Now, Sammy is adopted, and he's from Ethiopia. As you can tell, he came out a different color. So, you know, genetically, we're not of the same ethnicity. And I say this because Sammy, from his father, of course, got all of his athletic skills. When he was on the field yesterday, was incredible. He's like a little old Jackie Robinson. He's diving all over the place, making saves. And then at the end of the game, the coach decides who's going to get the game ball. And she brings all the kids into the dugout. And she lines them up and she says, "Today's game ball goes to none other than Sammy Wood." And she takes the ball over to him and she says, "For diving on the field, for making plays, for making hits." And I look at the expression in my son's eyes and he lights up in this sense of joy in that moment. And I'm standing there in the dugout, and the thought crosses my mind, this moment will never be available again. There will never be another first baseball game for Sammy. And today, I was here. I received and seized this moment. And I don't want to miss it. I don't want to get to the point where my kids are grown up and leaving the house and realize that I could have laid a foundation that would have forever changed the trajectory of their life spiritually, and I missed it because I was trying to balance everything at once and trying to be Superman and do all things that are supposed to be done in all seasons. Instead, I want to engage and embrace the opportunity that is unique to this moment. See, grandparents, some of you, you're at that season or that stage. Kids are grown, house is empty, and you have an opportunity to lay a foundation into the future generation. And you know the beautiful thing about all of it is that you get to get them high on candy, and when their diaper is dirty, just give them back to your kids, mom and dad. It's just like beautiful, the perfect combination of it all. But there is an opportunity in that season that is to be seized. Now the question is, what is the unique opportunity that you need to seize in this stage or season of life that will forever be gone when you get to that next season of life? See, the way that God orders life is that when you seize that opportunity and you open up your hands to what it is that he wants to do in your heart right now, you are laying a foundation of wisdom that leads to greater joy and greater peace as you traverse through the seasons of life. Number 2 is this: what expectations do you need to release in this category of releasing expectations from your life? See, the first one is seizing opportunities, and the second one is releasing expectations. In every season of life, there are unique opportunities and there are unique expectations that are upon you in that season, but there are expectations of former seasons and future seasons that need to be released in this season. I'll give you an example. See, I long for having a beautiful backyard. I long for having flowers and beautiful furniture in the backyard and a clean back patio. But every time I try to clean my backyard, you know what? There are bikes and scooters and kids color on my furniture with chalk, and they put it together with water, and when it becomes this mixture of water and chalk, it becomes paste. And so I have furniture in my backyard that's ruined, and I go many nights down into the basement, and I want my basement or our downstairs area to be clean, and I find myself stepping on Legos as I walk through the house. And I have learned that if I try to keep this incredible order to our household that Stacy and I had before kids, that I'm just going to find myself insanely frustrated. I'm gonna find my relationship with my kids maxed out, and I'm going to find myself breathing down their necks all the time and releasing that expectation of something that we did previously and one day we'll do again. I promise you one day I will have an immaculate backyard where I can read books and drink coffee and look at the sunshine of beautiful California. But in this season of life, there's an expectation that has to be released. Otherwise, I don't experience the kind of peace that God wants me to experience. The question is, what expectation needs to be released in this season of life? You see, when you're at this place in life, I'm not going to use the word old, but when you're mature and your body is ailing, you don't have the same physical capacity that you once did. And to put an expectation on yourself that you would run at the same pace or in the same way that you did previously will create stress for you and in the most important relationships in your life. Now's a time to leverage your wisdom over energy to invest in future generations instead of being able to run at Mach 2 speed. What is the unique season of life that you find yourself in, and what is the expectation that needs to be released? If you're a young mom, let me release you of the expectation that every day you would spend time being able to read your Bible or read the Bible for long, uninterrupted, quiet times of prayer and meditation. You know, I have this kind of philosophy where I shoot for every day to read the Bible and usually get about 4 or 5 days a week. And I'm sure some of you are like, you're a horrible pastor. But I'm like the rest of us, just trying to do my best to follow Jesus. And sometimes I will set my Bible and my journal on a coffee table. I will pre-make the coffee. I will have my clothes laid out for the next day. I'll go to sleep at 9:30 with the goal of waking up at 5:30. And there have been multiple times where this has happened. I'll wake up at 5:30, and when I get up, I hear a crying baby. My wife's not in our bedroom. She's in the baby's bedroom. And I realize that my wife has been spending the entire night trying to help this baby sleep. She brings the baby downstairs. She hands the baby to me, and I look at her and I say, no, this is my time that I read the Bible. This is my time that I pray. You're getting it, right? It's a joke. It's my Bible study and prayer time that day, my quiet time, is holding a baby and releasing the expectation that in this season of life, I'd be able to have these long, uninterrupted quiet times. See, it changes in our inability to release expectation in this season of life will render us unable to seize divine opportunities that will be gone in a moment, in a flash. One day, she's not going to fit in my arms anymore. One day, I'll be walking her down an aisle to some jerk that will never be good enough for her. One day, the moments, the opportunities that are in front of you today will be gone. And in this season, some expectations need to be released so you can seize divine opportunities. What's that expectation that needs to be released for you? And then last, but certainly not least, is this. It's to anticipate the future. See, what we need to do is we need to seize opportunity that's unique to that season. We need to release expectations that will be reasonable expectations in a future season or were in a former. But the third thing is to anticipate what is ahead. See, when you're in college and in high school, that's not going to be your reality forever. At some point, you're going to graduate from high school, and most of those people that are your BFFs right now, that are writing in your yearbook never change, always stay the same. You won't remember their name 10 years from now, I promise you. And you'll look at them on Facebook and you'll look at some guy that was in your class and you think, who in the world is this person? You're going to go from this season to the next. But in your hands, in this season of life, are some seeds that can only be sown into the ground in this season. And if you miss that sowing of those seeds in anticipation of the future, when you get to the future, there will not be a harvest in that season of life that should be there. It's the couple that has little kids or teenagers, and they let the children run their lives, and they never invest in their marriage. And so consequently, when the kids are gone, when the nest is empty, they divorce and they split apart because they never invested in their life anticipating that there might be a day when the kids would grow up and leave. It's that person that doesn't care for their body physically, never thinking about the fact that one day I'll be 70 or 80 years old and the decisions I make today will influence my destiny tomorrow. And if I anticipate the future, I can make decisions today that will set my life up for success in the future to seize opportunities that will only be able to be seized in that next season of life. So the question for you is, what decisions do you need to make today in order to be better prepared for life's future seasons? There are decisions that you can make today to prepare for the future that God has for your life. I'll give you a couple questions that have helped me determine the answer to this question. One question is, what kind of person will I be 10 years from now? Another way to frame it is, what does God want my life to be like? What will my marriage be like? What will my finances be like? What will my physical fitness be like? I have this vision statement that 10 years from now, I want my wife to enjoy seeing me with my shirt off. It's just one of my little vision statements. I'm working really hard to make that happen. I'm still not there, but I'm sure 10 years from now I will be. See, thinking about life through a different lens, though, of where will I be 10 years from now, allows you to adjust the trajectory so that in this season you can take those seeds that are in your hand. In every season, there's a set of seeds in your hand that have to be sowed in this season to give a harvest in the next season. And the question is, what are those unique decisions that you can make today? Some of us, it's storing up for retirement so that when you are a grandparent, you have the ability to travel and visit your grandkids. Some of us, in addition, it's investing in and laying a foundation in the lives of our children in the same way it's seizing an opportunity. It's anticipating the future that there will be a moment when you don't make their decisions for them anymore. And there will be a moment when they'll go off into a world, a big world with lots and lots of decisions and value systems that are different than the value system of your home. And you can lay that foundation today in anticipation of the future. See, life traverses, doesn't it? And sometimes in this season, that burden that you are carrying can feel so heavy. And that blessing and benefit that God has given to you can seem so small. And what God is wanting to say and speak into our lives today is that in cooperation with His Holy Spirit, in cooperation with the principles and the ways that He has ordered life to flow, that you can seize opportunity, release expectation, and anticipate the future, and you can maximize or grow the size of that blessing, and you can minimize the size of the burden or the weight, and instead of carrying all these burdens that you'll carry in the future or that you should have carried in the past, release those expectations to find a kind of peace that God wants for our lives to experience right now in this moment. I'll give you a couple more examples from my life. Every Friday, it's Friday's my day off, and we do homeschool with our boys. We go on what we call Boys Club. And a couple weeks ago, we went over to Happy Hollow Zoo in the Japanese garden, and my boys decided that they want to be ninjas that day. And they grab sticks, and they're ruining the grass at this Japanese garden and have no clue about their surroundings and just enjoying this moment. And it struck me. There's going to be a time when those kids don't want to hang out with me anymore. There's going to be a time when somebody's texting them, asking them to go hang out. And Boys Club is not going to be quite as cool to them anymore. But for right now, they want to spend every waking moment that I will give with them. They want to wrestle with me when I walk through the door. They want to hang out on Friday and Saturday, and they complain when I have to go to work on Monday. And in this season of life, I don't want to miss what God has placed in front of me with my marriage, with work, with my friendships, with relationships. And today, God brought you here. Sunnyvale, North San Jose, God brought you here for a reason. God brought you here to communicate to you. You cannot always choose the season that you find yourself in, but you can always choose your response to that season. And by cooperating with him and embracing and living within the rhythms of life and the order of life he's created, you can experience greater peace and less stress. Now, as we conclude our time together, it would be wrong for me to not recognize the fact that there are some of you here today, both of our campuses, that have lost all hope. You've lost hope because of a marriage that's fallen apart. You've lost hope maybe because of a relationship with a parent or a friend. You've lost hope because of a physical ailment or a bad doctor's report. And the kind of hope that God wants to give to your life today is not just for a better life in this world. See, the season and the stage that we're in is temporary. The scripture says that this life is like a mist, that it's here, we live 70, 80 years, 90 years if we're blessed, and it's gone forever. Our lives are a mist, but we will carry on for all of eternity, that you are an eternal being. And Solomon would say in the same passage that God has set eternity into the hearts of men and women. And his desire for you and I is not just to receive the blessings that he wants to give to our lives in this life, but it's to receive the spiritual blessings that can only come through what Jesus would do on a cross, his death there hanging between two Roman soldiers, and his resurrection from the grave. That by his death and resurrection, and through God's grace, as we place our faith and trust in Jesus, what God wants to give to us is an eternal blessing. That no difficulty, no trial, no bad doctor's report, no marriage that is falling apart, no job loss can take away from us. It's an eternal blessing that does not come with a burden. It's an eternal blessing that comes in relationship with him, that from this moment, for all eternity, you can be connected to the very source of life, that is, the burdens of this life are weighing heavy on you. There's a future hope that God can give to your life through Jesus and his resurrection and your faith in him. And today, if you are in a place where you have lost hope in this life, God wants to speak hope into you to say that there is more. He can come in and be your strength. And he can give you hope that one day when you cross from this life to the next, that you will be in his presence forever, that you will live in a place where there will be no more tears, no more mourning. Scripture says that one day there will be no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more bad doctor's reports, no more divorces, no more babies that die, no more suffering. One day. And many of us today are disconnected from that hope and relationship that God wants to give to our lives. And today you can receive his hope by faith in Jesus and what he's done on a cross and opening your life to him to say, today I choose to follow you, and his hope can enter into your situation to give you hope beyond this life. So I wonder if you're exploring faith today, if you would give the message and life of Jesus a try, and you would open up your heart to him to say, Jesus, I believe you came to live on earth, that you died on a cross and you resurrected from the dead, and I'm going to choose the best of my ability, not perfectly, to the best of my ability to follow you with my life, and I'm going to thank you in advance for the hope that you're going to give to me, that God can enter into your life today and change you. If you are a follower of Jesus, and today you're here, God's commission for you is that he has placed opportunities in front of you that will be gone tomorrow. And his challenge to you today is to embrace those blessings and benefits, and with his help to receive his strength for those burdens that you are carrying, and let him lead you through the seasons of life in a way of wisdom that allows you to decrease your load, increase your capacity, and experience his peace. As we conclude together, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. And inside your program, you'll see that there's a connection card. And if you're able to locate that at this point, I want to give you just an opportunity to respond. And in just a moment, we're all going to turn our connection cards in, writing down what our next steps are. Maybe today your next step is becoming a follower of Jesus. Maybe today it's a prayer request. Maybe there's a decision that you're making. And for just a few moments, we're going to let you write down your next steps. We're going to have a moment of silence. And then afterwards, I will pray for us here at North San Jose. And then our campus pastor, Felipe, over at Sunnyvale will wrap up the service on that campus together. So let's take a moment of silence to write down our next steps, and then I'll close us up afterwards. Jesus, we are incredibly grateful that you give grace to our lives, and that right now in this moment, your desire is not to give guilt and shame over past opportunities that have been missed, but to give grace, and that you give weight to the decisions that we make today to seize those unique opportunities. Help us to seize those opportunities. Help us to release expectations and anticipate the future of what is in front of us. Help those who are here today who have lost hope in this life to, in the future, look forward to that moment where forever they will stand before you in a place where there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, and no more suffering because of you, because of your grace and your death on a cross in an empty tomb. We put our hope in you today, Jesus. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for this life. Help us today to seize this day. In Jesus' name, amen.